This is a spiritual reading for Andy Stephen, being given on Saturday, the 9th of August 2025, in Victoria, Australia, by John Rawson. We stand within the hall of memory. The book of the soul is given into our hand, and the Book of the Soul, Andy, is a metaphor. It represents all the incarnations that the soul has experienced since it first came into physical existence, many thousands and thousands, thousands of years ago. Now, the Book of the Soul tells us something about the nature, the very nature of the soul, because souls are all different. They're a bit like snowflakes. No two are identical. And so each soul, when it came into incarnation in the first instance, came in with certain qualities, gifts, if you like, certain energies. And these energies will be explored and expressed from incarnation to incarnation, including, of course, this one. Now, the nature of the soul is described symbolically by the cover of the book that I'm holding in my hands, if you can imagine that. And as I look at the cover of the book, in the very center is a deep red rose. That's a very interesting symbol because it represents the heart and represents or says to us that the soul will incarnate over and over again to express itself through the heart, through love, through relationships, through marriage, through love affairs, anything to do with the heart levels. Then the cover of the book is a sort of a dark maroon colour, as they say in Australia, maroon colour. So it's a deep red, indicating that the soul first came into incarnation in order to experience the senses, to experience gratification through the senses. It was thirsty for experience and so dived into the physical body in order to experience what movement and life and sex and the pleasures of eating, all those things the soul wished to experience in the first place. And of course now it's had thousands of lives experiencing them, it's the novelty has worn off a little bit. And so the soul is turning around and saying, I think I really need to go home. That is, I need to be on the upward path, which of course it has been for many incarnations now. And we will see the struggle of the soul with the physical world, with the physical body, in incarnations where you've been a monk or a priest or a ruler, all sorts of incarnations, which we'll come to a little bit later. But one of the reasons that you feel that you don't fit in is simply because you're not part of this world. We are not earthly beings, on a spiritual journey, we are spiritual beings on an earthly journey. So there comes a point in a cycle of incarnations where the soul says, I don't belong here, I belong somewhere else. And then that person starts to feel, oh, I don't belong here either. I don't fit in, so to speak. But then there are other reasons why you have that feeling, might I say. Then so we've looked at two significant symbols of the Book of the Soul. And the third is that there's a title. And the title, as I see it at present, and that may well change, but the title, as I see it, is very unusual. It is the Well of Compassion. Now, that's a very interesting name for the whole soul book, for the whole path of the soul. And of course, in the first place, it would indicate that you are a compassionate person. And in the second place, it would indicate a cycle where you fell away, so to speak, from that very high aim or very high gift, and you closed up that well so that you no longer felt compassion for other souls very easily. And then you came to a point where, as I've said, the soul realized it didn't belong in this physical existence, so it began its ascent. And since then, the soul is trying to clear the way, the access to that well, which in many hundreds of thousands of years has become clogged with unnecessary baggage. It's like life chucks rocks down there, or all sorts of rubbish that doesn't need to be in the well. A well needs to be cleansed and be free of rocks and other rubbish so that it can provide pure water. And so your incarnations at this point in time are very much to do with removing the old rubbish from the well. And the old rubbish really is simply unneeded memories from past lives, unneeded energies that have made their way with you into this incarnation. Nothing really is ever lost in spirit. If we do something that affects another soul, whether it's positive or negative, then for incarnation after incarnation, that action is placed in front of us until it's resolved or brought into balance. You're at an interesting time in your life. You should be, or should have come out of a period of intense questioning. You have had to perhaps break up from an old life situation, whether that's a relationship or a work situation, a home. 23 to 24, difficult times. Times where you felt rebellious and you wanted to react and cry freedom, so to speak. Where you felt that you'd been constrained and you needed to break free from chains that you saw imprisoning you. So now you've broken free of that, You are coming to the end of your this phase in your life, which is mainly concerned with repaying karma. Now, karma, of course, are the debts that we bring into incarnation with us. And we don't, of course, bring all the karma that we have incurred. That would be so heavy that we would probably fall out of the pram and never get up again. So the soul chooses, before it comes into incarnation, certain balances, or certain imbalances actually, that need to be redressed. And it makes arrangements with other souls who would be coming into incarnation at this time as to what specific karma will be repaid. And we repay this through our relationships, through having children, through creating a home, through working, through making money, through everything, in fact, in life, is to do with bringing about a balancing of karma. That, however, doesn't really begin until about the age of 30, because the soul doesn't come in to take charge about the age of 30. So you would probably find about the age of 29, 30, that there was a significant change, a phase movement, if you like, a change from one level into another. And so about that age, you begin to take on in earnest the rebalancing of what you came into life to fulfill. Now, that's not for the rest of your life, so you can relax, because there comes a stage when that phase of life, which is mainly concerned with karma, the personal karma, comes to an end. And that age is 49, so you can see that you've only got about 4 years to go before you complete that. And from the age of 50 onwards, life again shifts a gear. Now, it's interesting that you've asked about relationships, because you are in a phase of life, the next 4 to 5 years, where you should enter into a relationship. And you may have a couple of goes at this. For example, you may find yourself in a relationship later this year or early 2026. And then there is the opportunity to deepen it in the next year or so, 26 to 27, so that it's about a 2 year progression, where relationships will be pretty important within your life. And if you meet someone and you get involved with them and you fall in love, so to speak, it should be a love relationship, then you'll probably get married in perhaps 2027, just an approximation. So definitely you are in a relationship cycle within your life, an opportunity for relationships, I should say. It's interesting that I'm not sure that you've been very fortunate in relationships, especially with women in this incarnation, that there has been, I would say, a difficulty in understanding the female psyche. What do women want? Well, every man would like to know that. But what women don't want, definitely, is someone with all the answers who tells them what they should want and what's going to happen. So if you've had that sort of relationship where you haven't been able to listen to a partner or someone that you've been close to, it's this year, actually, that you'll have an opportunity to rebalance that and to come to grips with that aspect of self. You will have an opportunity to engage in a relationship, and it'll be significant if you are able to move beyond a sort of on again, off again situation with this person. Instead of having relationships turning on and off a bit like a light switch, you should be coming into a stage in your life where you're past that, and you are entering into a phase where you'll be able to create a relationship on a much broader, much more encompassing level. Well, we should open the Book of the Soul, because that will tell us more about what's going on in this incarnation. So we do open the Book of the Soul, and the soul depicts itself on the open pages. On the left, it depicts itself in a little verse, which is about the purpose for this incarnation. And on the opposite page, the right-hand page, the soul paints a picture of itself. And it paints a picture in the colours, through the colours of the aura. And each colour represents a gift that you come into incarnation with in order to achieve the purpose of the life. So I will list the colours, and then we'll probably come back and examine what they mean in more detail. The first colour is red. It's not really a light red, it's just red. It's got streaks of little streaks of grey in it, which is not good. It indicates that the person has experienced quite a lot of pain in this incarnation, and such the sort of pain that can cause turn into negative thinking, negative thoughts, putting oneself down. And putting oneself down often comes through putting other people down, by the way. Putting other people down is a sure sign that the person doesn't feel confident within self. But red is a very, very good colour to have, because it's the colour of life, and it means that you can work with the energies of life and build. And that's reinforced by the second colour of the aura, which is a light brown. And light brown is a person who can build in a practical sense. It's often the person who's good with detail, or who can build things with their hands, and you've got browns around your hands as well, I see. So you should be good with your hands. I could see you with a hammer and some nails. So you might, if you work in something where you're using your hands, where you're working, building something, either literally, say in the building industry, or if you are working somewhere where you're helping other people build things in their lives, that's really, really using that colour well. Brown brings practicality and feet on the ground, and you've got brown around your feet as well. Then the third colour is really different, and so different that I wonder how you cope with this, because it's so different that I'm not sure if you even see this about yourself. It's the colour blue, and it's a deep blue. Now, blue is the colour of spirit. So perhaps you'll find this one of those things that you might find not fitting, but it says that you are a person who is incarnated for a spiritual purpose, and that the colour blue, which is growing through time, surrounds you Now, when that happens, it presses on the two inner colours, and that pressure can create a depression. So you may find at times that it's hard to be that positive, cheerful, happy-go-lucky person that you should be, because you feel there's a pressure somehow that you should be doing something different with your life. And indeed there is, and that will gradually come into consciousness in the next 5 years. And I think when you get to 50 and you start that phase of your life, that will take you to a completely different place. That if you've been working on a physical level, with money, with property, with organization, that although you'll still have those skills and abilities, from about the age of 49, 50, you're going to enter into a place where you're dealing with the needs and the, how can I put it, the pains of other souls. And we should go to the next colour, next significant colour, which is the colour from the shoulders, and that's purple. And we'll come back to the significance of that. Yellow browns within the head. No, sorry, I've got that wrong. Let me think. Strange colour, it's all mixed up. It's sort of greenish brown inside the head. That's really interesting, because green says I want to make a change, and brown says no. Hang on a second. Let's stick to the tried and true. Let's not go off the deep end and go all woo woo. Let's stick with what we know. Keep our feet on the ground. And green says nope. I'm going to make a change. Interesting that the green's associated there with music. So great if you have music in your life. The vortex, which is the colour coming down like a cone from the spiritual world, is orange, which is definite change coming upon you. The influencing colours as we see them, a very light blue above, and a very light green below. The influencing colours are not part of the aura, but they are, so to speak, gifts from the spiritual worlds to empower you to move into the next steps, the next phase of this incarnation. The symbol of the overself hovers above the head, about 4 to 6 inches above the head, and the symbol of the overself is an expression of the inner divinity that dwells within the deepest part of the soul. And you might call this the, as I just did, the inner divinity, the Christ self, the I am, the Buddha nature, the Atman. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't care what you call it. But it's that core part of self that makes you an individual. And it's so sacred that no one, no clairvoyant, no one else except for you can actually converse with that. But very obligingly, it helps us out by giving us a little map in the form of a symbol. And here, the map is a picture that, as I see it, as I perceive it, shows you getting on an e-scooter. So that is a symbol, and we will interpret it later in the reading. On the left-hand side, the left-hand page is a little verse, if you like. And I'll just give you the title of the verse now so that we can proceed. The title is called The Well of Compassion, which is interesting because that's the name of the on the Book of the Soul. And when the purpose coincides with the soul's name, then this is a very significant incarnation for the soul. And that the soul has chosen its parents specifically in order to set up the framework for the changes that need to happen in this life. We will return to the first colour, the red. That's the colour of life. That's the colour of engagement with the world. It represents courage, energy. The greys, as I've said, are not good. They represent doubts and the inner critic, if you like. So very often the inner critic comes because there've been outer critics within the life. So they keep saying that it's not good enough, or there are greater expectations. You can do better. There's more that you should be doing. Oh, just forget about all those voices, inner and outer, because you're doing precisely what you should be doing, and you have been doing precisely what you should have been doing. It's really interesting, Andy, that the first colour is quite strong. That is, it pushes out. Normally the first colour is pretty well inside the physical body, but here it's pushing out a little bit. And that actually, the first colour, because of what it represents, that can create psychic or clairvoyant moments within your life. You don't have the intuitive colour of rose, but then that's perhaps probably pretty good. Sometimes it's good not to have the psychic colours because they create other problems. The red colour, there are incarnations associated with that. Interesting incarnation. I think it's probably about the, 13th or 14th century. As I see it, you're a prince, you're a knight, and I can't see your face because you're clad in armour, and the armour is black, so you were known as the Black Prince or the Black Knight. And your father, the king, I think was a Henry, sent you to France because at that stage the English crown still owned a lot of property, or laid claim to a lot of property in France. So you were sent to France to fight to retain the property. And you were very successful. You were a very good tactician. You were a good leader. You weren't afraid to ride into battle yourself and to lead troops. And eventually you did what the king asked, and you came back to England. And your father actually wasn't a very nice man, your father. He mistrusted you. So he kept you on a very tight leash. And eventually he died and you became king. But you did not live for very long after you became king, so we would never have found out really what sort of king you would have made. Now, that incarnation creates certain aspects. As the leader, the military leader, you should have the ability to lead people, to give good, clear directions, to map out a project. In that incarnation, you were quite ruthless. You were responsible for many innocent lives being lost. And that has tarnished, as it were, your soul record to this day. So rather than people following you in this life, you may find that you actually find it quite difficult to connect with people and to convince them or to make them understand your point of view. And your point of view is always going to be slightly out of joint with everyone else's point of view. But, and the other thing, by the way, is that that Black Prince wore this black armour, was always, I can't even see his face, I can only see the armour. So this incarnation has been one where you've come in armoured, as it were, against the feelings and emotions, and it's been difficult for you to take that armour off. But symbolically speaking, you've almost got the whole lot off. You've got the helmet off, you've got the plates around the torso off, and you're going to take the plates around the legs off soon. When that happens, you're going to experience a great freedom in life. Instead of feeling that you've got to tread this particular path, something that's laid down by perhaps other people's or the expectations of society or your family needs, whatever it is, you're going to be free to strike out on your own. And then probably some of those attributes that you had as the prince will become available in a positive sense. So you'll find that you can be a leader, that people will look up to you. They'll come to you for advice. And there'll be, because of the greater degree of respect towards you, you'll be able to move into a different situation. And this will be a situation where you're not on the front line, so to speak, like the prince was, but you're more like the king, governing a realm and being in charge and saying do this and do that and looking after people's needs. That's interesting. The origin of that red is in the period we call it Atlantis, where you were a sort of a priest, I think we'll call you, and you were involved in the wars against the negative forces. And in order to oppose the powers that they were, and the energies, and the forces that they were generating, you also tapped into energies and currents, if you like, powers that were very strong, very powerful, but they were tainted, they were corrupted. And so if you can understand this, you took something that was impure but powerful into you so that you might use it as a weapon. And the conflict where both sides utilized powers that were very strong, and particularly pertaining to geological, geothermal, volcanic energies, ended up in a catastrophe for the island, and it was eventually sunk, and only a few people escaped. And because of your association with those energies, you were trapped for a long time out of the body. You were eventually brought back into incarnation in Egypt through music. So music is actually something that should be part of your life, even if it's just listening to music. But if you can play a guitar or you can sing, anything, it's really, really very healing. And it's interesting that one of the people who was associated with the healing in Egypt, which brought the soul back into relationship with the physical body for the first time in 10,000, 50,000 years, it was your mother in this incarnation. So there is a deep spiritual connection there. But it's interesting, Andy, that when one is healed like that, then very often healing becomes a gift that's available later in later incarnations. We should move on now, and we should look at the brown colour, which I've described quickly. Interesting that the brown is someone who can work really hard. In I think the 14th century, you're in a male body there. You worked in Silesia, which I think is somewhere something around Germany now. And you worked in a coal mine. You it was a very hand-to-mouth subsistence existence, and you died quite young because of the inhaling coal particles. I don't know what the condition's called, but it got into your lungs and inflamed the lungs, and you had a very nasty death. Just be careful about what you take into your lungs now, I guess. But what that did is gave you the ability to persevere and to work very hard, sometimes for not much return. But I think that you would not want to work as in that sort of slavery condition. I think you would much rather have a lot more autonomy in how you work and how you earn your money now. When you have red and brown, it usually indicates that the person will become financially secure within their lives. They may not make be millionaires, but they should be able to own property and establish themselves financially so that they will always have enough money for their needs. The third colour, which I have to say surprised me a bit, is the blues. It's a very strong colour, and usually people don't have three strong colours. They have first two, and then the other colours are a bit lighter and less permanent. But here you've got this third colour. Now, this may seem incongruous a bit, but the blue indicates a deep level of spirituality, and it indicates to me that you've had lives where you've been focused on spirituality as a particular focus. And the first incarnation that we see here is in Egypt, where you were in a male body again, and you were a priest, I think in the temple of Anubis, because you were associated with embalming there and with preserving bodies. In Egypt, spirituality wasn't separate from ordinary life. It was just part of everyday life. So although you were a priest, you still had a day job, which was around the embalming as well. So you would be able to do both the physical aspect, and you'd be able to do the spiritual aspect of helping guide the soul on its way through the on its passage through the underworld, as the Egyptians represented it. Completely different aspect of the blue. In about the time of Shakespeare, so the Elizabethan period, where you were an actor on stage, play actor, and you played lots of important roles, had there a quite a high-pitched voice. Probably today we'd say he sounded a bit camp. And certainly you could sing very high as well, like a countertenor. And so although you were successful, had a successful career there, you were a bit ostracized by other people. They thought that you were gay, and you were actually you weren't, but they thought that you were, and you ended up committing suicide, which isn't a very good way to go. Now that's interesting when that happens, and there is another life which has bearing on that, also to do with the blue. An incarnation in the 12th century, where you are a monk, very high-ranking monk amongst the Dominicans. And the Dominican order sent you as an inquisitor to the south of France, or what now is the south of France. And you were charged with assisting to stamp out the heresy that was flourishing there. And you were very dogmatic, I think we'd call it that. There was only one way. Was it your way or it was the highway? And those who didn't agree with you, well, they could always be tortured or burned at the stake. There were always means. And so because you used spiritual power there to hurt and to wound and to torture other souls, that meant that the blues could no longer be expressed on a spiritual level. And so that you had the incarnation as the actor in order to release the blue, because blue has a range of expression. On the one hand, it's deeper spirituality. On the other, on another hand, it's being dogmatic and opinionated. On another hand, it's actually to do with drama, liturgy. Liturgy and drama, of course, very connected. So you had the incarnation as the dramatist, and because that did free up the blues, the memories came to the surface. You didn't know what they were, but you had terrible nightmares in your sleep, and you had such terrible relationships with people that you ended up committing suicide. And when that happens, there's a loneliness that comes within the soul. An isolation. And because suicide is the act of cutting oneself off from the rest of humanity. So in a sense, that's why it's sometimes called the ultimate selfish act, because it severs connection with everyone. In everyone that you might have had a relationship with. And so there's another reason why you feel you don't fit in. You have to come to a point where you have forgiven yourself, and you will do that in the next 20 or 30 years of your life. It's going to be quite a while where you will be able to enter into a form of spirituality, I believe, which is practical, helpful, and freeing and healing to other souls. So just remember that. The purples around from the shoulders to do with the incarnations as a priest. Interesting that, again, in an Atlantean incarnation, previous to the one I've already described, you were sealed in the Sun Temple, which adds or confirms, as it were, a sort of a priestly nature from life to life. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a religious person, because a priest is a mediator, so sometimes that comes out as someone who bargains for a living, as a merchant, or who stands as a negotiator between two factions, or so as commonly happens at this point in history, it's often someone who has a talent for counselling and observation and assisting other souls to see into their own lives and their own needs and their own dynamic. So we may see some of that emerging in the future. It's interesting because you had a life in towards the end of the first century where you were part of a community on the island of Patmos. You knew the being we call Saint John, and you were a priest within the community there. Also, by the way, in that incarnation, very clairvoyant. You were trained in the school. And because of that training, the memories are close to the surface, we would say. Past life memories, that is. Which is, of course, explains the deja vu experiences, because every so often you see something and it triggers a memory. And that clairvoyance that could be released and expanded so that you not only have the deja vu, but you have insight into that life from which that moment arose. The orange vortex. When I see the orange vortex, I think this person's going to experience significant changes in their cognition and thinking, their way of thinking and understanding. Because orange is change, and it's a sort of a revolutionary change. It injects into one's thinking, I don't want to do the same thing as everybody else. I want to do what's right for me. I want to find my own way. And when you have that, you can be quite reactive against guidance, well meant though it may be, from other people around you. You don't want to take advice. You want to find your own way there. And that will become more important in the years after 49, after 50, but it's already emerging. It's going to make changes in the way in which you perceive the world and you perceive other people. The influencing colours, the light blue above the head, you are entering into a time when you can engage in consciousness more and more with the spiritual worlds, and the spiritual worlds engage in us through flashes of intuition, through sudden memories, through sudden insights, things that you might have known but weren't paying attention to. And if you start seeing this happen to you, then you know that you're entering to the new consciousness. And below the feet, the light greens, and the green represents change and bringing yourself into harmony, greater harmony, first with yourself and then with other souls. The symbol of the overself shows you getting on an e-bike, an e-scooter, sorry. And I love this symbol because it shows progress. Yep, and you're leaving behind the past. Mind you, an e-scooter is a fairly minimal form of transport. You can only take one person, I think, on it at a time. And it does have a battery which can run out. So just bear in mind that wherever you're going, it's got a time period on it. But nevertheless, I can see you looking over your shoulder. You've got a cheeky look on your face. You're saying, bye, everyone. I'm off. I'll see you later. And this would actually be a great time to do something adventurous and different within your life. Take a world tour. Go to other places. Find out where you have that deja vu experience. Is it the pyramids? Is it the Taj Mahal? Is it just a temple in Bali or something? Just see where that takes you. The verse, as we see it on the left-hand side, it's entitled The Well of Compassion. Now that's a fascinating purpose. And there's only one line that I can see at present, and there may be other lines, but that may come if you ever come back to me for another reading. But the line says, the well of compassion is opened through the piercing of the rose in the heart. The opening of the well of compassion, I'll say this again for you, the opening of the well of compassion, or the well of compassion is opened through the piercing of the rose in the heart. And what that means is that this is the lifetime, it's a very important lifetime, where that sense of compassion for the world is going to become freed within you. And the symbol of the rose on the heart, roses have thorns, they're a beautiful flower, but they have painful thorns. And the way towards discovering that beauty, that power that dwells within you, that power to love and empathize and deal with other souls on a compassionate, understanding level, the way to that is through a lot of pain, unfortunately. But hopefully, you're almost through all that pain. And I would think if you walk down this path, Andy, that you will move into an experience of life where you can express that compassion for many souls. And it might be on a world level, world stage. It might be on a local stage. It might be just giving your time to help those who can't help themselves. It might be in learning to advise and counsel others. And it might just be in learning to love yourself so much that you can love another person in reality and experience the gift of that love returned in full. And that awakes more than compassion. It awakens forgiveness, and finally it awakens love. The world needs compassion, forgiveness, and love. That would be a great destiny if you embrace it. So shall it be.